pleasure today to talk to you about the creation of a new Department of Public Health in California, and to walk you through that. I wanted to initially to give credit to Gene Iacino, who is in the audience. Gene has not only helped me put this presentation together, but has been intimately involved and absolutely critical to our ability to move through as we move through the very complex processes of creating a new Department of Public Health here in California. I want to start with talking a little bit about the factors that led up to the policy decision to create a new Department of Public Health. There were certainly, starting at the bottom, there were a lot of critiques and analyses that had been done leading up to this. I would point to the Little Hoover Commission report. The Little Hoover Commission in California is, I guess the best analogy would be to sort of a statewide grand jury that takes as its responsibility to look carefully at state government and zero in on issues that they think require some significant attention. At one particular point about 4 or 5 years ago, they chose public health as a major focus of concentration and came out with a major report recommending the creation of a new and separate Department of Public Health. Similarly, the governor, after he came in, Governor Schwarzenegger, put together a process called the California Performance Review through which he intended to blow up the boxes, as it were, and to recreate a structure for state government, some of which has been followed through with. But one of the recommendations of that was once again to consolidate public health services and resources into a single large center. But more broadly, there have been a number of issues that have made the time right. Some of those, particularly that came out of the Little Hoover Commission, it was like the attitude was sort of like, you know, public health just isn't getting the attention that it needs, and we need to create a separate Department of Public Health. Well, my perspective on this is it worked just the opposite, that in fact, since 9/11, and particularly 10/11, starting with the anthrax scares, not just a scare, the anthrax phenomenon, but leading through a number of other major events that have occurred over the last several years, including the SARS concerns, the more recent concern about pandemic influenza and West Nile virus, it's my personal conviction, undocumented by research, that the general public has a much better conception today than they did 5 or 6 years ago about what public health's all about. And in a way, creating a new Department of Public Health fit the time in terms of having a specific department that really concentrated on the major public health threats in our communities. There had been a number of attempts previously to create a Department of Health. Won't go into detail about the previous legislative efforts there, but leave it to say that there had been at least two previous legislative attempts that were unsuccessful in moving things forward. Senator Ortiz, state senator in California, proposed legislation again early in the session in 2006. The governor, soon after that, declared his intention to create a new Department of Public Health, and from that came the intense negotiations between the governor's office and administration and the legislature, which led to a successful passage of the bill. We'll talk about that a little bit on the next slide, but wanted to highlight a few things that were sort of non-negotiables on the part of the governors, became acceptable to the legislature in allowing this policy program to move forward. First of all, there was an attitude in among some in the community that if we're going to create a new Department of Public Health, this ought to be a new agency-level department that reports directly to the governor. The governor decided that this was preferable to keep Department of Public Health in what is still the agency, the Health and Human Services Agency, that has now 13 departments in it. Similarly, there was a movement to create a Board of Health with ministerial and oversight responsibilities over the Department of Health, the thinking be that this would cushion a department from the political process. That was rejected by the governor. And then there was a movement to include in this reorganization additional agencies, at least two other departments within the Health and Human Services Agency, specifically the Emergency Medical Services Agency and the Office of Statewide Health Planning and Development, into the Department of Health. the main response here was, let's keep things simple for the benefit of the legislature, make it easier, and that there would be a phase two thinking about what additional reorganization should occur that might involve a different additional consolidations. So this was the legislation that was passed. It was signed by the governor in September 2006. It established the California Department of Public Health within the Health and Human Services Agency, once again now the 13th department within that that agency, renamed the residual department the Department of Health Care Services, primarily housing the Medicaid, what we call in California the Medi-Cal program, established a state public health officer, physician director for the new department, very importantly required budget neutrality, which meant that we could not use the opportunity of creating a new department to address critical infrastructure issues or that would be thought to be necessary simply as a result of creating the new department. So, and then finally, establishing an external advisory committee, and we'll talk a little bit about this. This legislation became effective July the 1st, 2007, so we're into our fifth month of a new Department of Public Health in California. One of the biggest challenges and early challenges was splitting the various programs within the Department of Health Services into these two new departments. But that became fairly easy for the majority of the programs, since the new provisional missions for the two new departments were, number one, improving the health of the state of Californians by the purchase of healthcare services for special populations and the underserved, versus improving the health by the implementation of population-based prevention programs. I would say just roughly 85% or 90% of the programs within the Department of Health Services fell easily and logically and without with little dispute or controversy into one or other of the new departments. There were a number of programs, primarily those that were characterized by having both characteristics. There, for example, within our Office of AIDS, there were programs that are that were community-based prevention components of that, but of a huge amount of our Office of AIDS resources are spent purchasing drugs for individuals living with AIDS and under treatment for AIDS. Similarly, our Every Woman Counts program is our breast and cervical cancer screening program. Family PACT is our reproductive health program. The Children's Health and Disability Prevention Program is basically California's version of what many of us know as the EPSDT program, providing prevention services for children. What California did was to add additional state resources to make those prevention services eligible to families with children and whose federal the poverty level was 250%. Up to 250% of the poverty level, in contrast to Medi-Cal or Medicaid, which was only, I believe, 100%, or maybe 150. And then we also had offices of women's and multicultural health. With regard to these other programs, we got a lot of input from community advocates and stakeholders in the community, as well as from program. And there was one, the major overlying theme was, keep us together as a program. No matter where you put us, keep us together as a program. Do not separate the medical services purchasing versus the community prevention components of it. And then their second greatest preference was, we'd also like to be in public health, and we honored both of those, so that we kept these programs together, and all four of these programs stayed within the Department of Public Health. With regard to the Office of Women's and Multicultural Health, we had a problem because they weren't resourced adequately for them to be split in two, and to have an Office of Multicultural Health and an Office of Women's Health in both departments. We came up with what we thought was a fairly creative solution, that we physically housed the Office of Women's Health in the new Department of Health Care Services and the new Office of Multicultural Health within the Department of Public Health, but we ensured that there would be cross-cutting concerns addressed through those offices by ensuring that the two directors of the two new departments would be responsible for nominating candidates for and appointing members to the councils that serve both of these offices, and make sure that the agendas for these truly incorporated issues that were of concern to both of the two departments. Because we think we have, in other words, these offices, whereas they're housed physically in one or other department, are truly serving both the new departments. This is just sort of an internal slide that shows how these are not organizational charts, but just showed the list of programs that in fact ended up in one or other of the two departments. I want to talk a little bit about what the organizational chart looks like. You don't you probably can't read any of this, but
do I have a pointer up here?
I don't either. Okay. We took an opportunity here. Pardon? Oh yeah, good. Hey, duh. Thank you, Mark. We took an opportunity in creating a new department to take a careful look at organization within the new Department of Public Health, and we made some significant changes within the department. Probably the most significant change was the creation of these five centers. Before, we had a large unit which we called Prevention Services, in which was interspersed all the key public health traditional public health programs. What we did was we separated out a center for chronic disease prevention and health promotion, a center for infectious disease, and a center for environmental health, with the idea that now we would have centers that represented major core businesses of the organization. We thought that would be much more transparent both internally and externally to major stakeholders and partners, somewhat partnered along the old concept of, frankly, of the Centers for Disease Control that was very, very. So we had these three centers that were created out of a prevention services unit. We did the one area that I didn't discuss in impacts on distribution between the two new departments was the previously we had a unit called Primary Care and Family Health. This was probably the greatest impacted unit housing our California Children's Services Program. This is the old Cripple Children's Program that provided specialized medical services for kids with serious physical handicaps. The CHDP program, but also contained WIC, genetic diseases, birth defects, family planning, and the rest of the programs broadly clustered under the Title V Maternal, Child, and Adolescent block grant. What we did was decided to migrate those that had primarily a community-based prevention component to them into a new center for family health. So now in the new department, in the new Center for Family Health includes our WIC program, our reproductive health program, our genetic disease and birth defects program, and the other programs broadly considered under the Maternal and Child Health Block Grant. And then finally, we have over here a Center for Healthcare Quality, which contains primarily our licensing and certification. Public Health in California is responsible for licensing and certifying all healthcare facilities and clinics. So that remained the core of that. We also included in a minor part of the reorganization laboratory field services, so that our responsibility for going out and inspecting and certifying clinical laboratories across the state was also included in this healthcare quality. We also another reason why we renamed this healthcare quality is that we wanted to add a consultative component to our relationship with healthcare facilities and services across the state, which go beyond the regulatory, but would provide. And the governor, in his healthcare reform proposal, did put forth a concept of creating an Office of Patient Safety. If at some point we are moved forward, that this would be housed within our Center for Healthcare Quality. So these five centers represented what we consider to be the core business of the organization. There were two other very important units. One is our Health Information and Strategic Planning Unit, primarily the housing of our Centers for Vital Statistics. We saw the services and programs that in this as working through and working through and serving the various centers, so did not see that as a core programmatic center, rather as a cross-cutting. Similarly, our Emergency Preparedness Office was also seen primarily as working through the various programmatic centers and not therefore conceptualized as a separate center in itself. So those were the major organizational changes, the creation of this of these five centers. The director's office was made up of the state public health officer and director. We hired two chief deputies, and many departments utilize those deputies by having some programs report to one deputy and other programs report to another deputy. We decided to divide the responsibilities of those deputies more functionally, so we have a chief deputy for operations, responsible for information technology, budget, accounting, procurement, human resources, etc. And we have another deputy responsible primarily for leading policy and programmatic issues. And then finally, we created an Office of External Affairs to ensure that there was a unitary, consistent approach in our relationships with external partners, so that in there we have, and I think we have this on another slide too, but our Office of Legislative Affairs, our Office of Public Affairs, coordinating the resources available in relationships with our Office of Multicultural Health and Multicultural Health and Women's Health, and then also would maintain peer relationships, for example, with Hospital Association, Nursing Association, Association of Health Facilities, et cetera. I wanted to mention briefly another important component of was the creation of a public health advisory committee. The idea behind the committee was to provide expert advice and make recommendations on the development of policies and programs that seek to prevent illness and promote the public's health. This is to be a 15-member advisory committee. Nine of the members would be appointed by the governor, three appointed by the assembly, and three appointed by the Senate. This advisory committee has yet to be formulated. We certainly have submitted recommendations on candidates to the governor's office, and we are anticipating the creation of this within the next several weeks. This group will convene twice a year. Will be open to the public. It will convene at least twice a year. It's open to additional meetings as requested by the membership. It would be chaired by the director of the department, there is a sunset on the advisory committee. My personal feeling is that will never sunset. That this will be found to be a useful and critical part of the Let me talk a little bit about the challenges in creating the new department. There were some very sort of logistical issues in the short-term challenges. First of all, in looking at the distribution primarily of administrative functions within the two departments, it was seen that there were certain critical masses that needed to be there in critical areas like accounting and budgeting that was almost irrespective of how large the department was. So you'd think, well, you can't just cut it in two. You still need to have fundamental resources available. So we found a need to redirect positions internally. Remember, we were budget neutral, so we had to look internally for, and of course, budget neutral did not mean cost neutral. So we had to find ways of resourcing these internally. So we redirected 57 positions primarily to information technology, administrative services, including accounting, budgeting, procurement, those various aspects. This seems like a significant redirection. On the other hand, in a department that housed previously 6,000 employees, this did not represent, we considered, a significant blow to the department, and we could easily handle this redirection. Creating interagency agreements for sharing data and resources. I think soliciting key areas for interagency agreements, I think we came up with something over 100 different issues that needed to be sort of memorialized in interagency agreements. We consolidated those down to somewhere between 40 and 45. Most of those are now in place. We are still working on finalizing several of the interagency agreements. And as mentioned, as you can imagine, the main issues there were sharing of financial resources and human resources, as well as data sharing arrangements between two new departments. For example, the Office of AIDS works very closely with the Medi-Cal program. The Medi-Cal program reimburses providers differently if they can demonstrate that patients have HIV/AIDS. Medi-Cal uses our database to double check the and verify that in fact that so it's those kinds of data sharing arrangements that were captured in interagency agreements between the two departments. Obviously, major issues like separating the email systems and creating new web pages for the new departments. Restacking is the term we use in California for relocation, primarily. And fortunately, most of the departments of healthcare services and public health are in what we call the Eastern Complex, four large buildings east of the Capitol. And they were dispersed within those departments. An explicit decision was made to keep them intermingled in those four departments. And I think less than 10% of the total employee base required a movement of any sort. So there was a relatively minor impact on those types of changes. Some of the long-term challenges that we see in, for the new department is this issue of budget neutrality. We are resigned to that and have accommodated to that over the short term. We expect that the control agencies in California will be looking very, very carefully at us over the next several years. Every time we put forward a budget proposal, they will probably be analyzing that very closely to see if, in fact, what it represents is an attempt to resource the new departments in a way that would have not been acceptable under the budget neutrality requirements. Managing expectations, I think that we are still in the process of attempting to get a feel of what are the expectations on the part of our stakeholders, what are the kinds of things they're expecting to see differently as a result of the new departments in terms of decision-making, policy development, financial success in budgeting, those types of things, and keeping in constant contact with our stakeholders to help them have a realistic idea of what they can expect and what is unrealistic to expect as a result of creation of the two new departments. Resources for emerging public health challenges, to the extent that we identify areas that are going to need additional resources, we'll have to justify those carefully and ensure that, once again, they are seen as verified new resources that are critical to meet new challenges and are not backdoor methodologies to re-resource the department under the budget neutrality thing. And then, of course, demonstrating the impact of the new department. In fact, we are in conversation with the University of California and some other partners to try to develop a framework for identifying clear indicators that we could monitor over time over the next months and years to try to capture as best we can and verify and quantify, if possible, the impact of a new Department of Public Health. Opportunities represented by the organization. We've talked about the new programmatic centers. I think I'll move beyond this, but leave it to say one of the other major benefits, I think, of creating the new centers was I felt very strongly, and we did collectively, that there needed to be more programmatic representation and input at a very top management level. So by having essentially two additional individuals representing programmatic areas on our top management team, we think was extremely important and one of the key reasons why we created these new programmatic centers. One thing I didn't mention on the organizational chart is informally, prior to the reorganization, we had created this coordinating office for obesity prevention. Those of you that work in large departments know that there are various resources throughout the department that can be of benefit and need coordination in addressing the obesity epidemic. We decided to create an office, a coordinating office, answering right out of the director's office to ensure that our WIC program, our food stamp nutrition education program housed within our cancer prevention and nutrition education, our Center for Physical Activity, our Project Lean, all those things would be better coordinated. And as policy issues and budget requests came forward, that there was a consistent story to be told about how those were a critical component of our integrated approach in addressing obesity over time. I've also mentioned that an opportunity here was to create an external affairs office, and I've mentioned already the things that we clustered under that external affairs office. And once again, the idea is that we have a unitary approach toward and consistent approach and messaging toward our key external partners. In moving forward to with the new department, I wanted to spend a few final minutes talking about how we began to prepare and involve staff in thinking about the new department. So about 6 months in advance of creation of the new department, this past January, we put together a transition team made up primarily of mid-level managers throughout the department, and we hired a consultant, and we charged that transition team and consultant for certain deliverables that we thought would be very important to have further clarity on as we moved into the new environment. First of all, we charged them with creating a new set of governing principles, a broad concept that includes mission, vision, core values, core activities, essential public health services, how it relates to those, and a concept of strategic partnerships, having that redefined in a document. We decided to have them orchestrate a classic SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, as a way of getting to the final deliverable, which was an organizational development plan. As part of that SWOT analysis, I think the consultant did 32 one-on-one interviews with key staff in the department. We did 15 forums across the state involving both internal and employees and external partners, and we did a survey to which I think over 1,400 individuals responded, getting their ideas about what their expectations were and what we thought the major challenges to public health were that needed to be included in our thinking about the new department. So that was successfully completed by the 1st of July. We did develop an organizational development plan. I'll share you some of the themes in that plan. And another major deliverable was to look specifically at leadership and workforce and come up with a leadership and workforce development plan, which was completed. Some of the themes that came out of the SWOT analysis included improving customer service, improving business processes, improving department culture, by including staff more and communicating more frequently, establishing vision and strategic direction, collaborating more consistently and substantively with the department's partners, enhancing staff development, and establishing a department brand. This is code for the fact that there were several areas within the department that, for example, had websites that if you went to it, you wouldn't even know that it was part of the department partly because of the way it was funded. So we wanted to make sure that there was more consistency and a requirement that they be identified clearly with the department. I'd like to finish with just talk about what I see, and we are talking collectively about. In fact, what do we expect has happened as a result of the new department? Well, certainly, as has been reflected in the SWOT analysis and the organizational development plan, a greater emphasis on strategic focus, I think, is extremely important. Obviously, we have just launched into a major strategic planning effort that we have to hope to complete by the first of the year and involve our stakeholders substantively in discussing that strategic framework prior to our entering into that very intense process of moving forward with legislative initiatives and budget initiatives that becomes a fairly quasi-secretive process once it involves the administration and its relationships with the legislature. Obviously, strategic focus for the department will, some of those are already clearly on the plate. You may be surprised for me to put healthcare reform and electronic medical record as issue number one. I think this is indication that I think that it's time for public health to be thinking seriously and anticipating the fact that within the next 10 or 20, about 5 to 10 years, we may in fact have a universal comprehensive health services program, and what would be the impact on the way we provide services and what services we do provide. I mean, an obvious example of that is one of the programs we have within the California Department of Public Health is a program that purchases healthcare services for individuals with prostate cancer. Obviously, we need to treat prostate cancer, but whether this is an appropriate role and for resourcing in the Department of Public Health would be a question open if, in fact, we had a more universal health care system. So there's a lot of pockets of emphasis within public health. The fact of the matter is a lot of what a health department is today is simply there because we're a Band-Aid for a broken healthcare system. And if we had a fixed one, we could really reconceptualize what we do. Similarly with the electronic medical record, a lot of us are still relying on birth and death statistics, mandatory communicable disease reports, discharge data from hospitals. The idea that we could substantively connect with a much more robust data field like an electronic medical record could blow the roof off of literally anything we've conceptualized up to this point in terms of a definitive data set on how what public health needs to adequately monitor the health of the population. Preparedness will continue to be a major strategic focus of ours. The governor has laid out a very aggressive healthcare reform agenda with a prevention and wellness component that includes specific initiatives addressing obesity, diabetes, and tobacco, insofar as the public health department would be seen as the agency responsible for housing and carrying out those. These will, by definition, be major strategic focuses of ours. We've mentioned patient safety, but I threw in a couple of other things to sort of say they're sort of quasi-emerging issues. Aging is not an emerging issue, but I would say that there are few health departments that are adequately resourced to address the continued and huge public health issues related to a continually growing and aging population. And then, of course, the entire spectrum of issues related to built environment and climate change. We need to think practically, one of the legacies I want to leave department is having built better capacity to address those issues and begin to monitor those substantively over time. So we think we're on the road to creating a much more substantive strategic focus for the department. Obviously, efficiency and effectiveness will be a second major focus of ours in the new department. It will start with a careful look at infrastructure, and the three specific aspects of infrastructure that we will be looking at include, number one, human resources. Do we have the capacity to recruit and retain the kinds of professionals, scientists, and technicians that we need to adequately run the department? But we'll also include an emphasis on data and data infrastructure, once again looking at major gaps in our ability to adequately monitor the health of the population and ensuring that we have the IT infrastructure to be able to archive, analyze, and make that data available to our key partners in our communities. And then we'll also include specifically an emphasis on laboratory. California has a proud tradition of having a leadership role in public health laboratories. We have six outstanding public health laboratories in the Department of Health. It's our commitment to, there's been significant erosion in our abilities as a result of difficulties in hiring and retaining microbiologists and other. We want to carefully look at that and ensure that we have a greater emphasis on maintaining the excellence there. With regard to performance, I think we are positioning ourselves to take a major step forward to create a performance quality improvement system in California within the State Department of Health, better preparing us for the emphasis placed today on accreditation. Accountability and improved business practices will probably be focusing primarily on contracting and procurement systems, information technology systems, and human resource management. And then more generally, ensuring that we have greater transparency and responsiveness, that we have, for example, the kind of data sets available to us for the purposes of the administration and legislature to be able to better describe what we are doing, how good a stewards we are being of the resources given to us, and ensure that we can talk easily about that. And then finally, I feel that and have always said that public health, there's nothing a governmental public health entity does that it doesn't do without a key partner in the community, literally nothing. We need to be more frank about that relationship and more strategic, and that is instead of handshakes and social relationships, we need to better define the strategic nature of relationship with key external partners and using that strategic definition to develop an agenda of what are the specific things we need to be talking with and strategizing with these key partners to ensure that that part of our mission that relies on our relationship with that partner gets achieved. So these are examples of the key partnerships. We've got an excellent relationship and a well-defined strategic relationship with local health departments. We want to make sure that all these other key partners that we have a similarly well-defined strategic definition for our relationship and can carry through with our partnership with them. So that's the end of my presentation. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about something that's very easy for me to talk about today. We're very proud of what we've done here in California. We hope this sets a model for other states, and we hope to actually come forward with the kind of verification and accountability that shows that this was, in fact, a very wise political move and that will pay off for California and perhaps other states in the long run. Thank you. Yes.
You mentioned vital records being housed in health information.
Right.
I'm
sorry?
Surveillance
is more dispersed throughout the various program areas, so that we have very strong epidemiology units, but they tend to be dispersed in our centers. Chronic disease, you know, communicable disease, environmental health in particular. Yeah.
So we have a mechanism for them.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have a state epidemiologist whose major responsibility is to ensure coordination and discussion among the various epidemiology units within the department. Right. Good question. Yes, Michael. Well, I think that in terms of who were the major architects, that this was a very, very intense process that we engaged in as an executive committee for the Department of Health Services. So, and we were in constant communication, obviously, with the governor's office and with the agency. But was primarily as we move forward in in building the specifics of the new department, it was primarily an internal process that involved middle and top management within the department. Well, I personally have been involved, in major reorganizations in previous organizations that I've been involved with. So I felt comfortable with the environment anyway. Not necessarily to say that I have any more wisdom about things, but certainly had my own ideas, having gone through a major reorganization in the University of Nebraska, Department of Public Health in Nebraska when I was there, and also carried the Orange County Health Department here in California through a major reorganization. And there were a number of other individuals, yes, who had experience either in California or elsewhere with organizational change. Right. Let me say that those persons were present in the process, and we were. I have to be honest that there were. In a way, I always consider those types of folks as the devil's advocate. If you can ultimately accommodate and convince them, then you've come a long way. They're your little ciphers mayflies that help you make sure your thinking is being kept on target. But we did in fact have naysayers and challengers throughout the process. But we think as a result of that we think we came out with a fine product. And I might say that the other side of the house, the Department of Healthcare Services, similarly took advantage of this opportunity to do significant restructuring within the department. So we think both. Not only do we have advantages of scale now in two smaller, hopefully some leaner departments, but both have done some strategic thinking about the organization of their activities, and we think both will be serving California better as a result. So. Yes, Mark. Mm-hmm. They haven't been formulated yet, but the kinds of things we're talking about are both. The question was, in talking with the University of California about a framework for looking at impact of the new department, were we talking about population measures, looking at ultimate outcomes, or were we thinking about management and organizational things? And we are envisioning a set of both. In other words, we will look at, for example, specific questions like, is contracting any differently? Is decision-making any differently? how successful are the two new departments in moving budget proposals forward or legislative initiatives forward, but then hopefully, ultimately, look at, has this accelerated our ability to meet Healthy People 2010 objectives, things like that. So it will be hopefully a robust set that will create, will capture both of those components. Yes. That's a very good question. Once again, the question was, to what extent will we be working with key stakeholders and partners in making sure that there's alignment? I think the probably the best opportunity to do this is with local health departments. We certainly envision ourselves as a single system, both from laboratory services and general public health services, and that's probably the most immediate opportunity to sort of align where we're going with what we're relying on them to complete at the community level. But also, I think your suggestion and the one that we need to take to heart is to align that with our broader, the partners that I've laid out there, academia, you know, healthcare, hospitals, et cetera, and the volunteer and foundations and other community-based organizations. Absolutely. Good point. Did you have a question, too?
Mm-hmm. So I think it's a natural experiment, but I'm sure it will be research. But where do you see that type of research fitting into your organizational chart and also your strategic vision?
Certainly it's part of the strategic vision, and insofar as we think that this is a great opportunity to study ourselves, to see what impact it's had. But also we think this could be a major contribution to the extent that we do a quasi-rigorous, you know, study of the impact to the broader public health community. But we haven't identified organizationally where that would sit. I would see those kinds of things primarily located perhaps within our health information and strategic planning unit. Great. Thank you all very much. It's been very enjoyable.